How many know him as a way maker?
Darkness, my
how many
God,
know him as a promise
that
keeper?
Is who you are.
Anybody know him as a miracle worker?
Yeah, way maker.
Light and
miracle
darkness.
Miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you.
Oh, yeah.
I worship you. You are here. I worship you. I worship you. Lift your voice and say, Waymaker, Wayman, miracle worker, promise keeper, yes, light in the darkness, yeah. My God, that is who you are, yeah.
Oh, if you really know him to be any of those things, you'll wave your hand.
Miracle worker.
If he's been a miracle worker for you, a promise keeper.
Light in the darkness. Hey, my God, that is who you are. Yeah,
come on, wave maker.
And say, way maker. Yeah, miracle worker. Promise keeper, yeah. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. Waymaker, say.
Waymaker,
promise keeper.
Promise keeper.
You're the light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You got to make it personal this morning. Say, Waymaker, yeah, miracle worker. Promise keeper, light in the darkness, yeah. My God, that is who you are. You ought to lift your voice and say, Waymaker, yeah, way. Miracle worker, yeah. Promise keeper, yeah. In the darkness, yeah. That is who you are. That is who you are. Oh, Waymaker, you're the miracle worker, promise keeper, yeah, in the darkness, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the, my God, that is. Listen. I don't know, maybe you've never needed him for anything. But I wish I had somebody in the house that's like me, that know him to be a way maker, that know him to be a miracle worker, that know him to be a promise keeper, that know him to be light in the darkness. I wish you would lift your hand and say, thank you for being a way maker. Thank you for being a miracle worker. Thank you for being a promise keeper. Thank you for being light in the darkness. You ought to lift your voice and say, lift your voice and say, yeah, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, yeah. Oh, my God, that who you are. Oh, way maker, yeah. Miracle work, promise keeper, the light in the, my God, that is. You know what, Pastor? I asked, last time we did this song, I asked Delilah, I said, why is it that every time we sing this song, you start to cry? I wanted to know why Delilah, a teenager, would start to cry every time we sang this song. Pastor, you know what? She told me. She said, because Reverend Welch, even as a teenager, I know him to be a way maker. I know him to be a miracle worker. I know him to be a promise keeper. And when my life is getting dark, I know him to be light in a darkness. And if Delilah knows him to be a way maker, if Delilah knows him to be a miracle worker, if Delilah knows him to be a promise keeper, if Delilah knows him to be light in the darkness, you ought to lift your voice and say, Lord, you're a way maker. Lord, you're a miracle worker. Lord, you're a promise keeper. Lord, you're light in the darkness. I worship you and I praise you just for being God. Yeah, yeah. Oh, say way maker, yeah. Miracle worker, promise keeper, yeah. You're the light, my God. That is that. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah. Way maker, yeah. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. My God. That is who you are. Yeah. 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 You ought to say hallelujah, yes. You ought to say hallelujah, yes, Lord. Yeah. Way maker, yes. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are. Oh, oh, oh. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper.
Singing that song, I looked out over the congregation and I realized that there's somebody in this congregation that fits. Brother and Sister Moore would tell you that he's a way maker.
Promise keep.
Sister Patricia Umlitz, whose husband has been suffering with infection in his heart. But now they can't find any. She would tell you that he's a miracle worker.
Yeah.
Sister Delane, who's lost 3 children.
Yeah.
Will tell you that he's light.
Yeah.
In darkness. The entire congregation of Mount Moriah would tell you that he'll keep his promises.
Yeah.
Anybody here know that he's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in darkness.
Oh, he is. Yes, he is.
That's who he is.
Oh, oh, oh. Yes. The light in the dark. Who you are? Hey. Oh, heart fixer, mind regulator, doctor in a sick room, lawyer in a courtroom. Yeah, my God, that is.
Now, for those of you that have never needed him, you don't really understand what's going on, but for those of us who needed him, man, he's always come through. He's always made a way. You just can't help yourself, because you know if it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would I be?
Oh. That is who you are. Yes. Oh, 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 oh. That is who you are. Oh, 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 oh. That is who you are. I wish you would just think what he is to you and just say that is who you are. Say that is who you are. That is who. That is who you are. That is who you.
Amen. Amen. There are times when the Spirit reigns and rules that you really don't have words to express. You just have to let the Spirit have its way. Amen. Somebody here today ought to know who Jesus is. Amen. Amen. He's the great I am. I wish I had a witness in here today. Jeremiah says he's my wheel in the middle of a wheel. Ezekiel said it's just like fire shut up in my bones. My grandmama said he's my walking stick. My granddaddy said he's my all in all. Somebody ought to know who Jesus is. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, children, for setting the atmosphere today. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. There's a word I want to lift from the book of First Mentions, the book of Genesis, chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. And I started talking to the children last Sunday, and it's Youth Day, and I've just had it in my spirit because of so much going on with our young people today to kind of talk to them and to us again today. Verse 1, and Adam and Eve knew, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain, not to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. I want to talk today from the thought, Bebe's kids. Bebe's kids. If you've been keeping up with the news, There has been a rash of killing among our young people, especially in the black community. This past week, a 13-year-old young man was simply walking from the convenience store. Had nothing to do with what was going on. He and friends were walking from the convenience store. And because they were in the line of fire between two other cars, a young man lost his life. Another young man, 17 years of age, who had just graduated from DeSoto High School, on his way to Jackson State University on a football scholarship, was gunned down by another young man, 18 years of age, for whatever reason is unknown. It's sad that in our community, children are killing children. Gang violence is on the rampage. Don't know why we are so hostile toward one another. But in hearing all of this weekend, watching all of the news reports, I thought I would try to investigate and look at where maybe it all started from, why we are so hostile toward each other, and why is it in our community, in the black community especially, we're so violent toward one another. And so I came up with the title from a movie some years ago called Bebe's Kids, and I wonder what really constituted a Bebe kid. And the Urban Dictionary says that they are children that are usually the offspring of hood rat chicks. These children are usually unkempt and seen running around impoverished neighborhood with little or no clothes on, although it is usually a diaper. Their hair will be either half done or not done in weeks. And the first word out of their mouths is usually a curse word. This is the beginning of the phase of becoming a thug. And so I looked at that, and then this week a friend of mine sent me a video of a 5-year-old boy who was in the presence of his mother, and every other word out of his mouth ended with itch. And he was telling her what he would do to her, and all she was saying to him was, "You better watch your mouth." And so I wanted to examine what did the problem with children first start. I wanted to look at how the first parents dealt with their boys and see if maybe we could come up with some help with how to deal with our children. Now, I know most of you have the most adorable children who never do anything wrong, never cause you to lose any sleep, cause you any pain or worry, but there are some of us here today who've had to not only ask themselves, but God as well, "Lord, where did I go wrong?" I think that Adam and Eve must have asked the same question of God, for when you look at it, it appears these two boys, Cain and Abel, had it all. But one still had some problems. Anybody here knows you can try to do your best, try to give them the best, and things can still go wrong. They can still go astray. And so I wanted to see if I can offer some words of encouragement to some parent who's maybe suffering and going through some things. First of all, you need to know that you're not alone. There are a number of others in here in the same city or state, and not just that, but in Mount Moriah. But right here, we've gone through some problems. We've got some parents who are having problems raising Cain. Do I have a witness in here today? Now, like these two boys in the text, Cain is not always a lad, a toddler, or a teenager. Oftentimes, Cain is a full-grown, rusty man or woman. But no matter how old he or she is, it's still your child. Do I have a witness in here today? No matter how much trouble they cause you, no matter how much trouble they get into, it's still your child. No matter how much money they cost you or how many tears you shed, it's still your child. And since it's your child, no matter what the crime, how many will say that child is still mine? Cain had some problems and issues. While it looked like Adam and Eve were perfect parents, what caused Cain to go astray? What could it be traced directly back to? Adam and Eve were in the garden, and many times we go through with our children, even though it looks like we've been quote unquote the perfect parents, can be traced back to some things we did in life long before your children were ever born. There are times when it's really not Cain's fault. It can be traced back to you and I. Maybe you did a good job raising him or her, but how much trouble did you cause your parents? How much sleep did you cause your mama and daddy to lose? Maybe you were a good example at home or in the house, but what about outside of the house and away from the house? The sins of the father are visited on the sins of the children. So there are times when it's not really Cain's fault. If I can, I really want to help Cain out. For there are some situations where Cain was at a disadvantage. Sometimes at Cain's house growing up, the utilities were off more than they were on. There was not sufficient food to eat. There were not clothes to wear at Cain's house. There was nobody to help Cain with his homework because the parent can't even do the homework. There's no expectation from their child. What about that average child that I believe is brought up in a loving home? We face great difficulty as we try to raise our millennial children. We're simply trying to raise Cain. We're confronted with trying to raise Cain, and we hear the Bible say that children are heritage. And how many know that, listen, those children are a reflection of you? And many times we say, I don't know where he got that from. I don't know where she got that from. And the truth is, you lied. You know where they got it from because you yourself did the same thing. Maybe it's the neighbor's children, but I'm not having trouble with mine. Many of us wish we could go back to the days of Deuteronomy 21. Read it when you get home. When a child got out of line, they just stoned him. Now we call that child abuse today. You can hardly even whip your children today. I saw on TV the other day that California is trying to pass a law that would make it a misdemeanor to spank your child. And if it ever gets to Texas, it won't include me. It will not include me because, listen, how many know my mom and daddy whooped me? My grandmama whooped me. And I thank God today for the whoopings they gave me. I got my behind whooped through my senior year in high school. From Washington, my senior year, I decided I wasn't going to school one day. I was going to the Hollywood Theater. And somebody been around Fort Worth long enough remember the Hollywood Theater. It was located downtown Fort Worth. That's where they showed all of the black exploitation movies. And I wasn't going to school that day. And so I'm a senior. I ain't going to school. And I decided I was going to play hooky. Not only did I not go to school, but I didn't come in until about 2 that morning. You know, I had it fixed. I had the window unlocked. And what I do, Brother Battles, is I would slip in through the window because I had the back room and they had the front room. And I come through the window, and just as soon as my feet hit the floor, the light went on. My mama was standing there, not with a belt, with an extension cord. She went to work on me and said, how was school today? I said, it was good. She said, you're lying. You didn't go today. I already know. My mama whooped my behind till I was 17 years old. But you better not raise your hand to these children today. I'm going to call CPS on you. I'll call the police on you. My My granddaughter, who just turned 17, recently she and my daughter got into it, and my daughter whipped her, and my daughter called me and said, "Daddy, the police are here." I said, "What?" I said, "Trinity called the police." And she said, "I want you to listen." So the policeman asked what happened, and I heard the policeman tell my granddaughter, "This is your mama. She feeds you. She clothes you. And your mama has a right to discipline you." He said, "If we come out here again, we're not coming out here for her. We're coming out here for you. And young lady, you better get it together." And so in order to raise our children, we've got to be firm with our children. We allow the cell phone to raise our children now. We allow the tablets to raise our children now. And we've got to put some time in. We've got to put some effort in to raise our children. You can't let the world raise your children, because the world don't know what your children need. And the reality is, wherever evil is allowed to fester, it takes a hold. Now I've talked to countless parents who don't understand the MO of children. I've listened to them venting and voicing, cussing and fussing, fighting and feuding. They don't recognize the fact that brothers have been fighting for years. Cain and Abel, Abraham and Lot fought over grazing rights. You remember Jacob and Esau, they fought over birthright. Isaac and Ishmael got into a little mocking contest at Isaac's weaning party. Joseph and Joseph's brother got into it because Joseph had too much color in his coat. And you know, folk will fight you when they think you have too much color in your coat. Better education, you've got too much color in your coat. Your children are doing okay, you've got too much color in your coat. You live in a nice house to somebody, that's too much color in your coat. You got things going on, got a good job, somebody ready to fight you because you've got too much color in your coat. Walk in church, they don't know you, they just got through fighting outside, but you walk in church holding hands, going on the rampage, but they think and perceive you got too much color in your coat. And I've discovered that folk don't like you. Children don't like each other simply because they got on the wrong color. And so we as adults, how can we expect the children not to fight when all they see at home is fighting? They come to church and all they see is members fighting. This member don't like that member. This member can't stand that member. And the difference is, they did it when I was growing up, but the difference is, they sent us outside. They didn't talk in front of us. But we say everything in front of our children. And so they don't know anything to do but fight. And so I looked at this text today because it's so easy for children to get led astray, and you can't get them to understand that it's easy to get in trouble, but it's hard to get out of trouble. Let me say that again. It's easy to get in trouble, but it's hard to get out of. I'm talking to the young folk here today. It's hard to get out of trouble. Now, I applaud all the children who have never given their parents any kind of grief. I applaud those who have achieved a level of education and success and can now give back to their parents. But I want to talk to about the other children this morning, those who got in trouble and seemed to hang out with thugs. Thuggerism, if that's a word, I know it fits right there. I don't know if it's a word, but listen, you got a thuggeristic attitude. Those who believe that being a thug is all right. That there's something to be gained from being a thug. Those who watch videos and think they're a role model. Those who allow their friends to persuade them to go against the teachings of their father and their mother. That puts a roof over their head. That puts food on the table and clothes on their back. See, some of us just need to go on strike. Let me say that again. Some parents just need to go on strike. Ain't gonna be no food. Ain't gonna be no shelter. Ain't gonna be no clothes. Why don't you tell your neighbor you ought to go on strike? Don't dare let me go on strike. Listen, no church, no eat. No church, no clothes. No church, no roof over your head. I've gone on strike. You're living here rent-free, and because you're living here rent-free, when I get up for church, everybody ought to get up for church. They don't seem to understand that friends that you meet along the journey is just for a short amount of time. They're completely out of your life after just a short amount of time. There's an average person you and I went to high school with, we don't have any idea where they are. The average person that we went to college with, we don't have any idea where they are. But we will allow them to pull us into some type of trouble. I tell you, I'm fighting for the life of Cain today. I looked at it and I really believe that we're living in the last days. Judges 2:10 talks about that there's a generation that knew not the Lord or works or the works that he's done for Israel. When I look at this text, I want to help Cain, but I realize that Cain has to help himself. You can't help Cain if Cain don't want to help himself. You can't talk to Cain and try to get Cain on the right path. You try to beat it into Cain. You try to speak it into Cain. You try to talk it into Cain and walk it into Cain. But if Cain doesn't want it, there's nothing you can do but put him in the hands of the Lord. I shudder every time I hear the bad news about some young person that's been killed on the street because I realize that Cain is reckless, he's revengeful, he's ruthless. When we used to fight, listen, we got into fights and by evening time we were friends again. As long as the parents stayed out of it, we would fight for breakfast and be playing by supper. Do I have a witness here? We didn't think about killing anybody. When we think about black, youth crime, teenage pregnancy, confusion in their lives, everywhere sexuality is concerned, when you think about kids who are just mad, they're mad at the world. Not knowing what to do and where to turn. Some of their fathers are in prison. Kids who cannot see why it's important to get an education, half-dressed girls and boys who are wearing pants down to whatever. Listen, you can't get hired at GM and GD. You can't become a doctor with your pants down to here. Listen, with haircuts where somehow or another they got your name cut in your hair because that's the only way you can remember to spell it. You don't go anywhere in life like that. And I'm trying to help Cain today. And everybody who's trying to raise Cain, who feel they want to be like their friends and don't realize that their family is forever. Let me say to the young folk in here, when I was growing up, the reason I left home and joined the Marine Corps at 17 because I thought I had the meanest mom in the world. And I wanted to get out of the house. I was ready to go, Brother Lister. What's the quickest way for me to get out of here? And so I signed up for the Marine Corps. Problem is, I didn't know you had to be 18 in order not to have parental consent. And my mama said, I ain't signing nothing. Y'all know my mama, don't you? And this was July, and my daddy stepped in and said, well, you may as well sign it anyway, because in December he'll be old enough to go on his own with that. And she went and signed for me, and I left and went to Marine Corps boot camp. And after about 8 weeks, I was praying, God, just get me out of here. I wish I was back at home. You don't know how good you got it while you're at home. Enjoy it. I wish I had some adults in here who wish they could go back to their childhood, who wish they could go back to mama's house and daddy's house. You didn't realize how good. You had it. And I'm trying to help Cain today because, listen, I don't want him or her to end up on drugs. I don't want you to end up somewhere maimed or in jail or just eking out a living, or God forbid Cain brings another Cain home. That's a whole nother story, a whole nother sermon. That if you don't raise Cain right, after a while you got three or four little Cains running around the house. I'm trying to get that robbing spirit out of us. That murdering spirit, this fighting spirit, this street corner mentality, this hustling on the street mentality, or even worse, the child ends up dead somewhere. When you look at it, Adam and Eve were the first parents. How thankful they must have been that God blesses them with the firstborn son, Cain. Cain means acquired. Very thankful that the Lord has blessed them with a boy that will carry on the lineage and the legacy. Not only were they blessed with a boy by the name of Cain, but also Abel means breath, temporary, vapor. It speaks of vanity, really a foreshadowing of the fact that the boy wouldn't be living very long. Now, I really believe that Cain and Abel were brought up in a loving home. I really believe that Adam and Eve were good parents. I believe that they were brought up in the peaceful home. I believe that they were taught how to love God. Adam and Eve had already had their run-in with God. They knew exactly what God expected. They knew what God wanted. And I cannot help but believe that they shared that with their children. And can I encourage you today, you ought to share the Lord with your children, that you teach them everything else. And I've never understood why it is we break our neck to get our children to football practice and cheerleader practice and basketball practice and step practice, but we don't put that same energy into getting them to Sunday school, choir rehearsal, and usher board meeting. The same vitality you put into getting them into those things, you ought to put it into getting them to church. Football's not going to save them. Basketball's not going to save them. Cheerleading, I've never seen a professional cheerleader in my life. You ought to get them where they can hear the word of the Lord. And that's one thing that bothers me, Deacon Dillon, is my children were raised in the church all their lives. They were taught. They went to VBS. They went to Sunday school. They were taught. But all of a sudden, what mom and daddy taught them ain't good enough for them, Welch. I don't understand, Sister Delane, that the folk that love them the most, their words are not good enough. But some Joe Blow can come along and destroy everything you taught them. Amen. The Bible says one became a farmer, the other a shepherd. They took their own paths in life. They no longer saw things the same. And maybe they were competitive even as little boys. Maybe Eve and Daddy Adam couldn't see it. And maybe they thought this thing is going to pass. I know they're competitive. One wants to be this, one wants to be that. Maybe it will pass, but that competitive never left. I don't know if you saw the paper the other day, but one sister ran over another sister here in Fort Worth because they were arguing because one was finishing college or doing well in college, and the other one got jealous, and she decided to back over her sister. I'm talking about right here in the hood, right here in Fort Worth. And not only backed over her, but ran over her two more times. This competitive led to chaos and conflict. As they grew, they took their own roles with nothing wrong with being a farmer, nothing wrong with being a shepherd. I'm sure Adam and Eve were proud of both, but trouble is brewing. Abel understood what offerings to God meant. When I look at the text that we're bothered with here today, that listen, they weren't brothers, really. Blood brothers, but Cain had a different idea. Have you ever thought about it? They came from a two-parent home, a mother and a father. Listen, there was no YouTube. No BET, no internet, no rap, no nasty videos, no struggle with peer pressure, no violence, no gang. Everybody was wearing fur. Ain't no fashion fads, ain't no CDs, calling women names that rhyme with itch, no street corner hustling, no cell phones, no testing, no drug dealing, no baggy pants. They came from a stable home. But a difference was soon developed. I think the problem really starts in verse 3 with Cain's attitude. See, Cain's thinking was messed up, and whenever your thinking is messed up,
your life is going to be messed up.
Let me say that again to the young folks. Whatever you're thinking is messed up. I need y'all to turn around and listen to me. I see y'all talking back there, young people. I need y'all listening to me because I'm talking to you. If you don't think well, you're not going to act well. And consequently, your attitude will be jacked up. I can say that I can. Listen, you will not live in my house and give me attitude. If they give you attitude at home, what do you think they're going to give you at school? I don't understand these parents who get mad at school. Mad at the teacher. Mad at the, that ain't my baby. And the same thing he's doing at school. If the attitude is jacked up at home, how you think it's going to be toward the teacher? Even at the church. Folk don't want you saying nothing to their children. Don't you discipline my child? I heard you were fussing at my child. Listen, if you did more fussing, we wouldn't have to fuss when they get here. If your children make it in life, you got to keep their attitude in line. Cain's thinking, his attitude was bad. And the Bible declares, so a man thinketh, so is he. If you think you can't make it, children, you won't make it. If you think you can't graduate from school, you won't graduate from school. If you think you're nothing, you'll always be nothing. So a man thinketh, so is he. We've got to help our children to think. And in doing so, we shape the attitude. Cain brought an offering unto God, and first fruit of the ground. Abel brought an offering also, was the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof, literally implying that Abel brought the best. It implies that he understood God's dynamics. He understood that God deserves the first of everything. We've got to instill in our children that God comes first no matter what the situation is. Teach them to make God option number one. Not two, three, or four. Even before mom and daddy, teach them the reward of prayer, faith, and patience, and thinking. Teach them that if they seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all of its righteousness, all other things will be added unto them. Teach them the dynamics of God. The text says that God not only rejected Cain's offering, but he rejected Cain. Not only did God accept Abel's offering, but he also accepted Abel. It really wasn't about offering. It was about the attitude. You see, it's a matter of Cain's heart. Let me say to the young folk in here today, it starts with your attitude. Not my mama, my grandmama. They were a little different than modern mamas. Mama had an attitude adjuster. Anybody had a mama like I had? Anybody know my mama? And it didn't take long for mama to adjust your attitude. It wasn't a 24-hour process. She didn't call no psychologist. She didn't call no social worker. No social worker coming to our house. Mama had an attitude adjuster. And in a matter of moments, she could have your attitude right. And what I never understood about mama and grandmama was they would be beating you and telling you to hush it up at the same time. But boy, you better shut your mouth. How am I going to stop crying? And you still whooping my behind. And then you'd be, mama say, do it one more time. Do it one more time. She had an attitude adjustment. It's about attitude. What kind of attitude you develop about yourself? You've got to have a better attitude about where you're going, a better attitude about where you want to go, better attitude about what your dreams and aspirations are. Do you have any? Do you have any dreams? Do you have any aspirations? Satan wants to steal your dream. It wasn't about what he offered. It was about how he offered it. And young folk and parents, it isn't always about what you say. Oftentimes, it's how you say it. Parents, how can you get upset when your child cusses somebody out when you've been cussing them out all their lives? It's about attitude. Hebrews 11:1 says that by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That's about attitude. Even Jesus in Matthew 22 and 23 and 35, he called him righteous Abel. In Jude 1:11, we're instructed not to go the way of Cain. Cain's offering was not a faith offering. God was concerned with Cain's motives. God is not impressed with you doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. You've got to have the right attitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. Let me say that again. Your attitude determines how far you can go in life. And you ought to have an attitude of gratitude for what God has done for you through your parents. Parents, you ought to have an attitude of gratitude for God blessing you with your children. Stop talking down to them. Stop cussing your children out. But approach them with the right attitude. Even though they don't do everything right, you need to have the right attitude. Look at Christ's attitude toward us. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I've got to leave it now, but I thank God for the attitude of his son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and my sins. Look at his attitude on Calvary. He said to the thief, while dying this day, shall thou be with me in paradise. Look at his attitude on Calvary. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Look at his attitude. He says, it is finished. I've got to leave it now, but you ought to have an attitude of gratitude for what the Lord has done for you. Is there anybody here today that's grateful for all he's done? Is there anybody here today can thank God for saving your soul? Those folk used to say, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. I'll never forget how you set me free. I cannot pay him for all he's done. But the least I can do is tell God, thank you for all you've done. Is there anybody here today got something to thank God for waking me up this morning? Thank you for clothing me in my right mind. Thank you for making a way for me. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for watching over my children. Thank you. And wherever I am, I tell God, thank you. If I were in Germany this morning, I'd say danke. If I were in France this morning, I'd say merci beaucoup. If I were in Mexico, I'd say muchos gracias. But since I am a country boy from Monroe, Louisiana, I just tell God, thank you for all you've done. I've got to leave you now, but is there anybody here can tell God thank you? Been better to me than I've been to myself. Thank you for watching over me last night. Thank you that early this morning you started me on another day's journey. Thank you. Thank you. If you've got a thank you spirit this morning, you ought not be ashamed today. You ought to stand on your feet and tell God, thank you. Thank you. Been better to me
that I've been to myself. Thank you for making a way. Thank you for opening a door. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can't pay you, but I sure can thank you for all you've done for me. How many know he deserves it? He deserves it. That every chance I get, I tell him, thank you. Young folk in here today, you've got to watch your attitude. It determines your altitude. It determines how far you go in life. I don't care what you know if your attitude is bad. Nobody wants to fool with you. Nobody wants to be bothered with you. If you're always rolling your eyes and smacking your jaw, nobody wants to be bothered with you. And so you've got to adjust your attitude. And maybe we can get rid of a generation of baby kids and raise some better children. The doors of the church are open today. Come by letter. Christian Experience. Candidate for baptism.